In the beginning, nearly 14 billion years ago, the entire universe was smaller than the period that ends the sentence I'm reading. How much smaller? Imagine that period was a pizza. Now, slice the pizza into a trillion pieces. Everything, including the particles that make up your body, the trees or buildings outside your window, your friend's socks, petunias, your school, our planet's towering mountains and deep oceans, the solar system, the distant galaxies, all of the space and energy and matter and the cosmos was crammed into that point I was just talking about, that little period at the end of the sentence that I'm reading. And it was hot, scorching hot. Conditions were so hot, with so much packed into such a small space, the universe could only do one thing: expand rapidly. Oh, I just learned something about heat and the expansion of the universe. That's pretty cool. Now, today we call this event the Big Bang. And in a tiny fraction of a second, specifically 1/10 million trillionths of a second, the universe grew tremendously. What do we know about this first instant in the life of our cosmos? Very little, unfortunately. Today, we have found that four basic forces control everything from the orbits of planets to little particles that make up our bodies. But in that instant, after the Big Bang, all these forces were rolled into one. As the universe expanded, it cooled. By the end of this blip of time, which is known among scientists as the Planck era, named for the German physicist Max Planck, one force wriggled free of the others. Now this force, gravity, holds together the stars and planets that form galaxies, keeps Earth in orbit around the sun, and prevents 10-year-olds from dunking basketballs, among other things. For a simple demonstration of gravity's constant pull, I'm going to close the book that I'm reading from right now. I'm going to lift it a few inches off the nearest table, and then I'm going to let it go. That is gravity at work. Now, if my book did fall, which you probably noticed it didn't, please find your nearest astrophysicist, and declare a cosmic emergency because the book did not fall. But it did, so no need. In the very first few instants of the early universe, however, there were no planets or books or 12-year-old Mill Pond kid playing basketball, trying to get a dunk, but unfortunately, gravity is not always your friend. Gravity does its best work with large objects, and everything in the early universe was still unimaginably small. But this was only the beginning. The cosmos continued growing. Next, the other three forces of nature separated from each other. The main job of these forces is to control the tiny particles or chunks of matter that fill the cosmos. Once the four forces had all split apart, we had what we needed to build a universe. A trillionth of a second has passed since the beginning. That is a pretty cool thought about how the cosmos started in the solar system and the Big Bang. Cool stuff. Sometimes when I think about beyond our own solar system, it's mind-boggling. I can't even imagine how astrophysicists, scientists, can discover planets and stars and galaxies and even the black hole light
years away. It's so far away. Many of the planets and stars and galaxies that were discovered recently since 1995 were discovered just from light. Scientists use light because it's the only tool we have. Because everything is so far away, there's only one way of figuring out if it's a planet, a star, a solar system. So scientists study light when it arrives on Earth or near Earth. And because of that, that helps us understand beyond our solar system. So how do they do that? Well, there are various telescopes and scanners and light sensing tools in orbit, as well as light that crosses the paths of devices that scientists have launched into the solar system. Light is the key to our understanding of the universe. Now you're thinking, well, what is light? It seems pretty simple, right? But sometimes the most simple things are actually very complicated. Let's talk about light. The basic unit of light is called the photon, P-H-O-T-O-N. It's like an energy particle. In this mysterious world of quantum mechanics, photons, light, have dual personalities. They can behave like particles, and other times that light also behaves like waves, like an ocean moves. It's that wave characteristic, not the material piece, that makes light so useful to astronomers. Wavelength is like a photon signature. So think about it this way. Light has a signature. Its wavelength tells astrophysicists so much. Photons are generated in a number of ways. One way is you've got an electron that's buzzing around an atomic nucleus to drop to a lower energy level. And during that process, it's very complicated, so don't worry about it. We'll do a demo. A photon of specific energy is emitted. Now, the energy of the photon is matched to the wavelength of the photon. The particular wavelength of a photon determines the color of the light it represents. Not all wavelengths of light are visible. So keep in mind that light used in space study may be light of higher or lower wavelengths outside the visible spectrum, meaning we may not be able to see it. There are many wavelengths of light that the human eye cannot see. We humans see the wavelengths in the visible light spectrum as red, orange, yellow, green, blue, and violet. Wavelengths outside of our capabilities of seeing are detected in other ways. They use infrared, ultraviolet, microwave, X-ray, radio, and gamma rays. The entire spectrum of electromagnetic radiation is comprised of photons, light, of different energy levels and therefore different wavelengths. The photon-electron interaction can go the other way too. An electron can be boosted to a higher level when it takes in the energy of a photon. When elements, such as hydrogen, argon, oxygen, and so on, are excited or energized, they emit photons, light. Excited hydrogen emits photons. Now think about this. The sunlight is all hydrogen. Emits photons of specific wavelengths. Excited argon, and argon you can see in some of the neon signs we have. It emits photons or light of specific but different wavelengths. So it goes with the elements and compounds that define the common matter in the universe. Every substance has its own specific light signature called its spectrum. And I think about a spectrum, I think about low to high and in between. And spectrum would be, if you're measuring something, you have to figure out where it lies on that spectrum. Directing a telescope at an object in space that emits or lets out, reflects or absorbs light, provides information to the astronomer who is familiar with spectral physics. Spectral physics is basically where they look at the wavelengths on the spectrum and they can figure out what they're seeing. Now think about the sun. The spectrum of the sun reveals a great deal to astronomers. The sun's spectral class is called G2. That makes our star one of more than 100 million yellow dwarf stars in the Milky Way. Still, the sun is brighter and hotter than 85% of the more than 200 billion stars in the galaxy, most of which are in a class called red dwarfs. The total spectrum of the sun includes visible light radiation, radiation with higher energy, shorter wavelengths, then visible light, ultraviolet, X-rays, and gamma rays, and radiation with lower energy, longer wavelengths, then visible light, infrared, microwaves, radio waves. Since different elements emit or absorb particular energies and wavelengths, the spectrum of each element has spikes or dips at wavelengths corresponding to the elements of the sun. Now, think about this. When you look at any kind of material or matter out way beyond our solar system, if you see any light, or if we are going to discover new planets and galaxies, it's really about the light and whether or not that light and what spectrum it is and what can we see it, what tools do they use. So yes, a lot of what I just read to you is highly involved and complicated. But what you should walk away with is that scientists use light. Light travels in waves, and waves operate differently depending on where that light is being emitted to, or from, I should say. So come to the rug with questions, and we'll talk a little bit about waves and how waves move, not just ocean waves, energy waves. Like light waves.